This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
You can turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, and I'll read from verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly cleanse out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you that your words are alive and they are powerful. Lord, your words are spirit and they are life. And Lord, as we come, I pray, give us ears to hear what you are saying to us as a church and individually by your spirit, Lord. Awaken our hearts, Lord, to know all that you're saying. We don't want to take half of what you're saying and run off and fail in the end. Lord, we want your word to do a complete work in each one of our lives. Lord, Here we are, God. Let your word do a complete work in our hearts, because there's no failure with you. Lord, your path is a path that goes from glory to glory, from strength to strength. Lord, your path is one that's a shining light, and it's going to get brighter and brighter until that perfect day. Father, I pray that every work of darkness would be cut off and cast off, exposed and cast off. Lord, I thank you for the reality of your word and your spirit here this morning. Have your way, and we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. When John the Baptist came preaching, and he preached repentance, and I just want you to set the scene that here is a group of people that knew God. Here is a group of people that knew all about God. Jesus said to a woman that was searching, he said, "Salvation is of the Jews. The Jews know about God." Can I tell you that your knowledge of God will not get you to heaven? Your knowledge of God will not get you to heaven. We're in a generation where knowledge is incredibly important, and the Bible predicts this in Daniel 10. It says in the last days that knowledge would increase and many would run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Not this just incredible knowledge explosion. And can I just share my heart with what's happening? I don't know what's happening with me. I know there's a breaking going on in my heart and in my life. I can't stop crying, and I'm not sure why I'm crying. All I know is that my prayer has been, God, breathe on me. God, capture my heart. Reign in this heart. Sovereign Lord, reign in this heart. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. But start here in this heart of mine. Jesus said the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation, but it's within you. And so I want you to allow the Spirit of God to search your heart and to know where you are. I've been saying lots of different things. I remember talking to the men. Such an urgency about the hour that we're in right now. We're at the end of the last days. When John the Revelator got the revelation and wrote it, he said the time of the end is at hand. Peter says the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, we're to be serious and watchful in our prayers. Do you know what's going on? I'm not talking about world events. All of those, Jesus said, are signs. He said, don't be concerned about wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes. There's massive earthquakes everywhere. They're all signs. But do you know what the time really is? Are you awake and are you alert? So much of Scripture towards the end starts to say it's high time that we should awake out of sleep. What does it mean to be asleep? We can have all the knowledge of God, know exactly what he's going to do, how he's going to do it, and miss when he actually does it. So here's John the Baptist coming and telling them what? Telling a people who are much better than everybody else, who are more righteous than everybody else in their own eyes. I'm not saying in God's eyes. But in their own eyes, they knew more about God than anybody else. They were satisfied that they were doing the best that they can. Can I tell you that the best that you can do will not get you to heaven? The best of your trying will not get you to heaven. It will not get me to heaven. That's why the message of the cross is so important. Men must be saved. Are you saved? Am I saved? Do you know the Prince of your... I'm not saying, do you know about Jesus? I want to ask you, do you know him? I was at our men's meeting, and such a sense of urgency was up. Look, I love to joke. I love to clown around. But I just felt such a sense of urgency. The Bible says, this is in the Old Testament, and sorry, guys, if I'm repeating this again. No, I'm not sorry, because but sorry for repeating it. But I want to tell you, with the guys, God spoke to me in the Old Testament. He commanded, he said three times in the year, every male, every man has to come and stand before God, appear. The word is appear. That means face to face before God. In the Old Testament, the three times were the three feasts that they had. There was the feast of Passover. What do we all know that represents? Jesus Christ, the true Lamb of God being slain. Isn't it what John the Baptist pointed out? The Lamb of God, the one who was coming that was mightier than him. And he said, I'm not worthy to undo his shoelaces. I baptize you with water. But when he comes, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit is a fire. Our God is a consuming fire. God doesn't come to do a half-hearted work. When God does a work in you, he does a complete work. So why are our eyes on our own? I'm trying the best I can, Lord. It's a deception. You've got to allow God to do the work that only he can do. I've got to allow that. Believe it, he says. He doesn't say to me, David, come and try a little bit harder. He says, David, you've got to die. You've got to decrease so that I can increase, because you are the problem. Not your good works, not even your bad works, not even the worst of you. It's you. It's you. That's what the gospel is. So every man, three times in the year, Passover, a lamb was slain. Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's what that's. And then tabernacles. You know, it's that last feast of Israel. And I believe that that's where God's wanting to bring the church, the Feast of Tabernacles, where they left. You know what they had to do? They had to leave their homes, their established homes, their built-up homes that they thought were so enduring and so lasting. Do you know that everything in this world is going to pass away? All the things that you're storing up for security, all of them are going to be taken away. Every single one of them. It might be the money in the bank, it might be the houses, it might be your retirement that you're planning for. All of those things are going to pass away. Every single one of them. So why, can I tell you, why is your heart on them? Why is your heart set on something that's going to pass away? We're to live in the light of eternity, knowing that he's coming back. He's coming back. And he's coming back and he wants to find out what we're living for. So that's tabernacles. They left their homes. They had to build little cubby huts. Talking about fellowship, David, that word, participation, joining with the Lord. They left all their established homes at this time of the year. And they went out, built themselves little booths out of branches and leaves and grass, whatever they did, and they dwelt in them. And I think, what's that all about? It's reminding us that this is temporary. This is just a tent. Your body right now is a tent, and it's getting older and older every day, isn't it? It's wearing out. Well, a tent certainly is nothing that's going to last forever, is it? It's the nature of a tent that you can move quickly. You can't uproot your, you know, mansion and move somewhere quickly. So God has done that deliberately. Live in a tent. Anyway, where was I going? To every man three times in the year to appear before God. And I feel this intensity. I'm feeling it with everyone, with myself, who I speak to. I want to ask you, Bev, have you appeared before God? Have you stood before him and looked at him face to face? Because the cross is what gives you the right to do that. Every single one of you, have you stood before him? Don't tell me what you know about him, because that will not cut it. That will not wash it. I want to know, have you standing before him in your prayer time? Are you standing before the Lord of glory? Or are you giving excuses and saying, oh, God doesn't hear me. There must be barriers there. That's no excuse. If you will seek the Lord with all your heart, you will find him. That's the reality. Let God be true and every man a liar. So if you're not standing before God face to face and allow him to speak to you as a man speaks to his friend, you are not living in the Christianity that God has called you to live in. He is the one who will baptize us in the Holy Ghost and fire. And I tell you what, that fire will burn up everything that's dross. It will burn up everything that's a lie. It will burn up everything that's of flesh. And all will be left will be gold. And you will stand before God face to face. And you will know what he's saying to you. It's time. We're living in the top. There is such an urgency in my heart and in my spirit for every single person to stand before God face to face. Don't tell me your excuses, because God is not a liar. God is not a liar. Don't tell me you're trying. That is a lie. You know, and the things that God's speaking to me, I'm saying, God, how can I say those things? How can I say them? And unless I say them with the love of God, then they're just going to be condemning, or, you know, who does he think he is? You know, I was talking about double-mindedness. You know, the Bible says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. This is talking to Christians. Talking to Christians. Let's stop applying this to everybody else but ourselves. This word is for us. He says, cleanse your hands. Don't you know that if you love this world, the love of the Father is not in you? How, you rich? Well, most of us are pretty well. How, you rich? What's going to come upon you? The Bible commands, if God's given you abundance, he's given you that for a reason, so that you can bless others. That's what it's for. So he says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. What's hands are the things that we do? Psalm 24. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? The holy place is where we see him face to face. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and what? A pure heart, and has not lifted up his soul to an idol. Do you know what the Bible in the New Testament describes idolatry as? Covetousness. Jesus warned, particularly in our generation, take heed and beware of covetousness. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Why are we chasing possessions, chasing those things? A double-minded man, James says, don't let him think that he will receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man, what, is unstable in all his ways. Do you know what the evidence of a heart that is not right with God is? This is what God said to me. The evidence of a heart that is not right with God is double-mindedness. Having two opinions, having a bet either way, having a foot in two camps. Isn't that what Elijah the prophet came to challenge a whole nation who knew everything about God, who fulfilled all the rituals of going to the tabernacle every week and midweek, offering the sacrifices morning and evening as well? They did it all, but they were serving another God as well. Double-minded. And when Elijah the prophet came to challenge a nation, because the fire of God was going to fall, he asks them, how long are you going to be double-minded? How long are you going to be crippled? In other words, you can't do anything because you're crippled between two opinions. He says, if God is God, then serve him. But if Baal, all the things of this world, serve them. But make up your mind. God said, I would you were either hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. That's God speaking, not me. I didn't say that. And so he's challenging a whole nation. How long are you going to be crippled? And you know what they said? Nothing. They answered him not a word. I'm praying for a revival. You know, evangelism, somebody said, Leonard Ravenhill said this, in evangelism, we're telling people what to do. In revival, people are crying out to God and saying, what do I do? When there's not an answer, when there's not a word, there's double-mindedness. Because why? There's no clarity. And that's what I see in the church. And it sounds condemning. I'm not saying everybody's that, but I see it as a general thing on the whole church. I'm trying to talk to Bev, and you know, come across in the right way. Here's one thing, I've said it before, that He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, who is fire. The Holy Spirit is fire. You know, what does he come for? You just go to the first book in Acts. In fact, let's go there. Acts chapter 1. Chapter 1, I'm just going to move quickly. Okay, Luke is talking, saying why he's written this. Let's start on verse 4. This is the disciples, and being assembled together with them, Jesus was with the disciples. This is after he's risen from the dead. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Fire, fire, not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Boy, we've all got our own agendas. You know, your agenda could be intercession. It could be prayer. It could be a billion different things. We've all got our own agendas. And God, it's another thing. It's almost like God's saying, shut up. He's saying it to me. It's saying, be still. There's a time to be still because we all have our own agendas and they've got to be laid down for his agenda. It'll be clear then. He says, not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power. You have to admit with me, where's the power? Where's the conviction of the Holy Spirit when we hear people crying out, what do I do to be saved? It's like we've got to coax them. It's like we've got to, oh, come on, you're doing well. You're doing well in your rebellion against God. You're doing well in your stubbornness to submit to God. God understands. He doesn't understand that. And when we say those sorts of things, we're giving a lie to the gospel. Men must be saved. There's only one name given under heaven whereby men must be saved, and that's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we tell people they're doing well and stay in your rebellion, God understands. He doesn't understand. And I'm not saying that to condemn people. I'm saying that so that a spirit of prayer and supplication will come on us. A brokenness will come upon us, so that we will see people convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit. When he comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of what? Sin. That's what happened to me. Convicted me of where I really was without God. So that my heart, my deceptive heart, deceitful, wicked and deceitful above all things, was pierced by the sword of God. God's the only one that knows the heart of men. We come up with all of our excuses, all of our whinging, all of our whining, all of our pride. God knows the heart and he wants to convict. So where's that convicting power of the Holy Spirit? He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness, because we can't even do that either. It's only the Holy Spirit that will take a man or a woman to see what Jesus Christ has really done. It'll be our own flesh to look at it and say, well, I'll try to be good like Jesus. I'm trying my best, Lord. I'm trying to follow you. I'm trying to emulate you, when all the time Jesus is saying, when are you going to bow the knee and just obey me? When are you going to give me your whole heart? Because everything will follow that if you give me your whole heart. Don't tell me you're doing the best you can, that you're going to try a bit harder, you're going to turn over a new leaf. You know the reality of whether your heart is in his hand or not. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and he will turn it wherever he will. You know, this whole world is looking for God's kings to come forth. You know, we think of kingship, oh, I get to rule over people. No, God's kings, you know where their authority is? It's in the prayer room of God. It's on their face before a holy God. They're casting their crowns down before him, because their prayer is, God, I don't want to stand as a king before men, but I want to stand as a king before you. I want to have the authority of a king, the power of a king in my life, so that when I stand before men, on your behalf, as a priest interceding for them, that they must be saved, that they will hear your voice and not mine. That's what he's looking for. We heard that word this morning that, you know, that, because I don't, that word purgatory, you know, sometimes in church teaching there's a purgatory, in Catholic teaching, I think, you know, before you get to heaven. But that word about if there is such a thing, that this earth is, for those that don't know Christ, for Christians, this earth is a purgatory. Oh, yeah, true. But for unbelievers, it's the only heaven that they're ever going to experience unless they know Jesus Christ. God's wanting to send a fire. He's wanting to send a fire on your heart and in my heart. He's wanting it to burn. I'm praying for revival. I'm not praying for a church filled anymore. I'm not praying for anything like that. I'm praying for the fire of God to fall on this nation. I'm praying for his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we're called to do. We've got to have the same vision that Jesus Christ has. As surely as I live, God said, this whole earth is going to be filled with my glory as the waters cover the sea. It's going to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And who's going to reveal that? It's you and me. If you will be broken, if you will allow God to do what he needs to do so that you can be a channel, you can be a channel, I can be a channel that he can flow through, that he can reveal himself through. I was praying a while back, and I think whether people misunderstood me, I'm just going to finish on this. I was praying in the meeting, and I felt, this is what I felt, was that that the church as a whole is looking for signs and wonders, and the reality is that you are supposed to be a sign and a wonder. I'm supposed to be a sign and a wonder. So here, no wonder the world is not very impressed. They see a church racing for different preachers, racing for different meetings, wanting this, wanting an intercessors meeting or a miracle meeting or whatever kind of meeting it may be. And they're wondering, what are they about? Do you know a sign? What's the best kind of sign? One that's clear. You can read it easily. And you know exactly, I mean, driving through Melbourne and there are so many signs, you can get confused. The best sign is a very clear one. And here's the church racing around looking for signs and wonders. And this is the word that God spake. It's a wicked and an adulterous generation that looks for a sign. He's speaking to the people that believed in God. So we are signs and wonders pointing to who? Jesus. Does your life point to Jesus Christ, or does it point to you racing here, there, looking for your own agendas and all that sort of thing? You know, there's a real challenge in my spirit. I haven't even got to it. That fire, let me just quickly finish with this. They were assembled together. John baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days. And they asked him what's going to happen. But he said, you will receive power. When he spoke in these things, while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were looking steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. He's coming back on the clouds. Then they returned to Jerusalem, and here's it, from the mount called Olivet. You know that the mount called Olivet was the olive grove. You know that was where Jesus continually went. Do you know what he did at the Mount of Olives? He prayed. He prayed. He prayed. He loved to go there. You know, I said about the lampstand. The lampstand is the church. And Moses was had to command all the people that they had to bring olive oil, pure crushed olive oil, and they had to bring it to the tabernacle to make sure that the light in that lampstand would never go out. It had to burn day and night. And I want to put this on to you. It's no good coming to a prayer meeting if you are not praying in the secret place. If you are not standing face to face with God in the secret place, it's no good coming to a prayer meeting. I want to say it's in that secret place first. You get on fire for God and you get that oil. So that when we come to this place, we're not coming for a top up. Those days are over. You know, there's a vision of the 10 virgins. What was 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. They all had lamps. They all had oil in their lamps. They all had the light going, but only 5 had extra oil in their vessels. My challenge, have you got extra oil in your vessel? Because if you haven't, your lamp will go out in the days that are coming ahead. Your lamp will go out. And I want to challenge you with everything that you have. You get oil in your vessels. You get oil in your vessel so that you're not coming to church saying, oh, Lord, give me another shot in the arm so I can get through the rest of the week. Those days are over. We're in the last day. You know what Israel was commanded? You know that the manna they collected every 6 days of the week. They were to collect manna in the morning. On the sixth day, they were commanded to collect twice as much. Why? Because the seventh day is coming. The day of the Lord is coming. When he comes, he is going to be like a refiner's fire. His eyes are blazing like a flame of fire. His countenance is brighter than the noonday sun. You can't look at that. No wonder people without oil in their vessels are going to run to the rocks and say, hide us from the face of him who's coming. He is coming for a spotless bride. If his bride is not spotless, what will happen to her? 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. My challenge to you, and only you can do it. I can't do it for you. A church can't do it for you. We can only encourage one another, is get before him face to face. Whatever sin is in your life that is stopping you do that, deal with it. Whatever double-mindedness is in your heart that's stopping you from doing that, deal with it. Now is the time to deal with it. It's a serious time. It's a serious time. Can we stand up, please? Thank you, Father. Our Father. Reign in me. Sovereign Lord, reign in me. Captivate my heart. Let your kingdom come. Establish here your throne in every heart, Lord. Let your will be done. Reign in me. Sovereign Lord, reign in me. Father, I thank you for your people. I just bless your people right now. I bless them. Lord, thank you that you love us, that you are our Father. I thank you that you speak to us as our Father. Lord, we're not going to run away. We're going to run to you. You are our light and our salvation. Lord, I pray and draw me. Do you know the King has brought you into his chamber? The King has drawn you and brought you into his chamber. It's the bedchamber. A bedchamber, you don't bring a crowd in. It's just you. It's just two. That's why I say it's that secret place. You praying and getting into the bedchamber, into the king's chamber, he's drawn you to commune with him, to see him face to face, to talk, share your heart, open up everything to him, and he will reveal and show great and mighty things. Lord, we pray, have your way in each and every heart. In Jesus' name, we give you all the glory. Amen.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Monbold Christian Fellowship.